Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. A couple weeks ago, we started, had two messages about the watchman. Said back then, the next part was the shepherd. Everything we do as a church, everything I'm called to do and have authority to do is to be a watchman and a shepherd. Now, when I say shepherd, I'm not taking anything away from the Lord. Almost always somebody will say under shepherd. Yeah, that's what I mean. But I'm going to probably refer to us as shepherds. And what I mean by that is an example that Jesus gives us. He's the great shepherd. There's no doubt about that at all. This morning we want to talk about the shepherd. And I can feel the Lord working through me as I look back to the last 2 years, almost 2.5 years. Took it slow, let the Lord lead me best I could. We had a good revival, didn't we? Still have some to baptize. Getting close, I can if y'all can. I got this old shoulder, but I think I'll get somebody to help me. If y'all want to, you let me know. Okay, we'll get that finished up. And then you probably heard me since then talk about the youth. To me as a pastor, as the Lord has called me, and especially here, I believe we had a good church revival. But until it's complete, in my mind, on my side, God will always be working on that, won't he? I wanted to add the youth to it, and we're not there yet, but we're on our way. We have a youth conference already set up October 5th. I'll tell you about that later on, probably at the end of the service. But God's going to build a church with everybody. The focus can be on different groups of people, and I think it has been. More emphasis this time on the youth. But the same message, the same style, everything remains the same. There's no difference. The Lord will take care of that, won't he? And this morning's important because there's a standard that we all have and a reason why we do things. And I spent a lot of years not pastoring. And I didn't think I would or not. But everywhere I'd go, every week, I would say, Lord, what if I ever got to pastor again? And very slowly, for a long period of time, what the Lord was helping me, preparing me for, I can almost say that that's the way he's been leading me. There's a lot of things we have to cover, a lot of places we need to go. But it has to be in his time. It has to be by his reason. And this is a good message for me because I had to learn how to be a shepherd. What is the standard and reason for me personally? And then what is it for you? And we're going to see the example this morning, Jesus as the shepherd, to warn, to win. To last week we talked about you can't overcome something till you get through it. It might be that you're through it and you need to look back and realize you overcome. And if you did, it was because you were guided by the shepherd, Jesus himself. So we want to talk this morning about a reason, a standard, the shepherd. And I want to ask if you would to bow your heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for Jesus and all that he's done for us and through us. Lord, this morning we pray you'd continue to help us to grow as a church, a body, a Christian body, Lord, that's led by your Spirit. Most of all, we pray you'd help us to learn as we go, make sure that we know we learned, and look to you to go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 10, look at verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, the biggest problem that they had back in the day of Jesus, the Jewish folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ones that wanted to kill Jesus, they had a problem with Jesus. And the problem that they had was, who has authority over the sheep? Today, there's a problem in the church. Who has authority over the sheep? Is it the deacons? Is it the church? Is it the pastor? Or is it the Lord? Easy to say, isn't it? But we're going to have the same problem now that they had then. And the same answer then is going to be the same answer that we have today. Jesus makes it very clear in the very first verse. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold was a place where the sheep stayed through the night, through the bad weather. There was a gatekeeper, a porter, that was there in the doorway. There was a big either rock formation or boards or whatever they had back then that every shepherd that was traveling had sheep. He had a place that they could be kept. All his sheep, every shepherd, no matter how many there was, would take their sheep in through the opening, the door, where the gatekeeper, or in this case, the porter was, and he would know exactly who that shepherd was because they was going to come back later on. And that sheepfold that held all the sheep only had one way in. And that one way in was protected because the porter had the authority, responsibility, to make sure that everybody that came to the door to get some sheep, that they were his. So the only way you could get somebody else's sheep was to climb up some other way. And Jesus says the same as a thief and a robber. Pictures come to mind, don't they? There's an opportunity for somebody to get away from their sheep or whatever business they had in the town as they traveled. They had a safe place to keep their sheep. They had a man at the door that was responsible, had the authority to make sure they stayed in and make sure that the right shepherd came back. Any other way to get the sheep, you had to climb up another way. And just the climbing up, just the act of trying and not going through the door made you a thief and made you a robber. They're not your sheep. There's no one here that's going to give you that responsibility. You have to go up over another place. You have to climb in. And I get the picture of somebody taking maybe one sheep at a time and putting it over the wall and putting it over the wall or the boundaries and stealing somebody's sheep. Now, Jesus made it very clear that he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The one that has the authority, the one that dropped the sheep off is the shepherd. And the one that comes back and goes through the door is not a thief. He's not a robber. Those are his sheep. It's his right. He has the authority. And when he comes back, the porter stands away and the shepherd goes through the door to get his sheep. Verse 3 says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. I like that, don't you? The porter is the only one that knows the shepherd. And when the porter comes by and the shepherd comes to get his sheep, he stands out of the way and he watches and he listens. And that shepherd will call his sheep by name. Wouldn't that be amazing? Somebody says, you really think that happened? I really think that happened. We used to name our cows, didn't we? Didn't we? We did. And when we butchered them and put them in the freezer, I wrote their names on it. And my daughter told me, Daddy, I never did like that. That was cruel. But when a shepherd comes through the door and the porter allows him to come through, He calls out his sheep by name, and they hear his voice, and he leads them out. There's other sheep in there that have other shepherds. But when the shepherd comes in to get his sheep know who he is because of his voice. And he calls them by name, and then he leads them out. And the porter's standing there looking. Last night they were here sleeping, the sheep were. The shepherd was gone. Now he's back. There's a group in here missing, and they went out single file with their shepherd because he led them out. Now, verse 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Now, who has the authority? The Pharisees wanted to know. Who has the right to teach the sheep? Who has a right to teach the Mosaic law? Who has a right to teach them about the temple laws and things? They thought they had the authority. It was their responsibility God gave them to watch over his sheep. They were the ones that took it seriously. They're the ones that thought it was their job. And they thought it so much that when Jesus came, they didn't give him permission. They didn't give him any authority at all to do what he was doing. He was healing people, wasn't he? He was breaking their laws by healing on the Sabbath. He was going against things that they taught, and he would teach in parables and things to make them angry. Who gave you the authority to come in our place and take our sheep? But Jesus said, only are you the shepherd if you come through the door. The door references and the definition of the door in this text and context is the law, the ministry, the Christ, the Messiah. In the same Bible that they had that was their authority, taught that there would come one later that was called the Messiah, the Christ. And he would heal people. He would set up a kingdom. His kingdom would never end. This would be God's son. And they had all the prophecy in Isaiah and all the Old Testament things that talked about the door, the authority, is given by God, and it's given only to the shepherd, which is Jesus. Isn't it? Jesus was the door of the sheepfold. They thought they had it. They didn't think it was his. And they were going to do everything they could to stop him from leading his sheep. Then and now has not changed a whole lot. I've been through some, and you have too, some awkward, maybe even mean-spirited churches in your past, haven't you? I mean, who really runs this? Huh? This preacher thinks he runs everything. Well, I was here when he came, and I'll be here when he's gone. Who's got the authority? Huh? Who's got the power? I mean, God called the church, didn't he? They're his bride. But he also calls preachers, don't he? Back then and today, there's nothing changed. There's a battle. There's an authority problem, isn't there? What do we teach and how do we teach it? What style of worship do we need to have? How do we need to reach these certain folks over here? Just what do we do every day, all day? Some of it goes even too far about arguing over carpet and pictures and different things like that, doesn't it? So it's not new, is it? But the one that has the authority and responsibility as a shepherd, whether it's the church or the pastor or both, is the one that goes through the door. The church has went through the door if they're spiritual. They have a responsibility, don't they, as a church to listen and to learn. God gives a gift to the church called a pastor, preachers, evangelists, teachers, all these things, all these people, the gift and the one that has the calling has to go through the door. A preacher can not be right. If it is, it's because he never went through the door. He never was really called. He never was really sent. It's just a job to him. It's hard to tell. It takes time to see, doesn't it? Churches sometimes get out of whack, but they get right back in and settle things pretty much, don't they? But when a pastor and when a church has went through the door, they have to go through the porter. The porter is the one that keeps watch and keeps the sheep safe. What we would believe is the Holy Spirit. He sealed my soul and he keeps my life, doesn't he? And the Holy Spirit of God has to be involved to make sure the church has went through the door. Churches can come up with bylaws, constitutions, articles of faith, catechisms, and all these things. But the Bible is a standard. The Bible is what the Holy Spirit will use to approve and disapprove of a church to make sure they went through the same with the preacher. And when the Lord does his work and we see his work, it takes time. The worst thing that a pastor can do if he's wanting to prove that he's went through the door is to come in and just boom, 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 boom. You've seen that, haven't you? I've seen it in the 7 years before I came here and left Auburn Town. We went to churches and, oh my goodness, we was right. We'd been having enough experience, Sandy and I. We called a couple of them. He won't be there long. Or, oh boy, what was he saying? Can you believe what he said? And it's on and on, isn't it? The Holy Spirit calls men to preach. And slowly but surely, he teaches them how to be a shepherd. You have to go through a lot of things to learn what's right when it comes to church. You have to be a part of so many things to get to the right place that you look back and you say it's worth it. It was hard. We had some hard times through church as a pastor. Really, really, really bad things. I had two different times I was depressed in my life, and both of them was for 3 years. Nobody probably ever knew, but I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't study. I was broken down, and Lord, what are you doing? How does this can be like this? And church splits and all these things. You know why? Because the church or the pastor or both went up another way and stole and robbed away the things the church ought to be like. They both have to be right. Neither one of them has complete authority because God has that. But when we go through the Holy Spirit and we slowly learn and we slowly build, God really blesses, doesn't he? And you see, this is a matter of fact. This is what helps me out even to this very day. I know there's a lot of folks that go home and talk about the preacher sometimes over lunch. They do. Do you know what the preacher talks about when he eats? Huh? Is it any different? But it's good when we go home because we talk about y'all and we can't believe and we thank the Lord for us being here. It's good when you go through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Whole lot less trouble, whole lot less problems. No manufactured problems, no solutions that no one ever thought about. It doesn't matter about a whole lot of things except that the Lord is present with us and we see our families saved and grow. But here's the thing. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. He calls them by name and he leads them out. Somebody has authority and somebody doesn't. And when it's not right, there's a problem. The problem that Jesus had with the Jews and the Jews that had with Jesus caused his death on the cross, didn't it? And some of them, I believe, got over it and got saved after Pentecost. I really believe that. That 3,000 that was saved on the day of Pentecost was some of these Jewish guys that finally went through the door, finally had the Holy Spirit open things up to them. The world hasn't went through the door, has it? How can the world be a part of the church then without there being trouble? The church can't have the world in it. The church needs to be in the world, doesn't it? The one that goes through the door, the one that gets past the porter, it's right, isn't it? You don't have to worry about losing sheep in God's fold, because the Bible says that they won't listen. They won't hear. Look at verse 5. A stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, I'm going to cover this a little stronger later on. But there's Christians in the church that get out of church. They seemingly go their own way, but they're not following a stranger because they can't. They can't. They cannot follow a stranger because the sheep that they are have a shepherd that they know his name. There's a lot of folks that won't follow a stranger, but they'll flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There's Christian sheep that might not be in church right now, might have a lot of struggles and a lot of problems, but they still have the same shepherd. They don't want to be in the situation they're in. They don't like it. They're in trouble. They know it. And that's why we have to go get the sheep as a shepherd, don't we? Jesus left the 99 and went out, didn't he, to get that one. And so should we. They'll hear his voice. He'll call them by name. And they'll follow him. There's some folks that don't come to church because they can't. Nursing home. There's no way, is there? In a whole lot of cases, they're there and they're never going to leave. But they're the Lord's, aren't they? They hear his voice. They follow. And what an awesome life and example that we have. Now, all this has to do with inside the fold. They go through the door. The door is the shepherd that's qualified and called and sent. And we follow that leadership as sheep. We follow that door not only while we're there. We not only wait to hear our voice. We wait to be led by him. But then we're outside. Look at verse 5 again. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now we're moving, following the shepherd outside of the sheepfold. How good it is to be in church. How good it is to be with Christians, huh? The problem that we have is outside the fold, outside the church. The sheep are still with the shepherd. You know, people don't believe that. They don't act like that. They don't think like that. When I worked at Nissan, I like to say that. Man, I like to say that. I used to work at Nissan. Amen. And when I used to work at Nissan before I retired and got feeling pretty good so far. You can only eat so many peanut butter crackers, so I'm learning that. Anyway, they had cameras everywhere. Every job had a camera. It had two cameras, one this way and one that way. And they said it was to make sure the quality of the cars were right, but it was to make sure you caught the right people and got rid of them when you wanted to and you had evidence. I think that's what it was for. But anyway, they told us different. And the more folks was around and forgetting, it made a difference in their behavior. They weren't cautious anymore. They really didn't care until somebody got caught. And then everybody did pretty good for a while. But what I want to tell you this morning is that the sheep are still with the door. The door that they went through to get saved is Jesus. The same door that they got saved through is the same one that they go in and they go out with. We never leave the shepherd. He's always with us. When I was 12, 13 years old, the youth minister told us that if you're saved, the Holy Spirit goes everywhere you go and watches everything you do because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You talk about waking up a 12-year-old with guilt. It cleaned me up for a long time, for a while, because it's true, isn't it? And the only way you can find that out is to go ahead and push it and go away from him and see the conviction that you get in your heart because you are his. But he's still leading the sheep outside, isn't he? And we're still following. They're not going to follow a stranger. They'll flee from him, but they might not ever submit to the Lord again. They can get away from the shepherd, they think. They think that maybe somehow that when they get things right, they'll come back to the shepherd, come back to the fold. But they've got a problem. They'll never, never, never be anything but a sheep. And they'll never have any happiness or good thoughts towards the Lord and the church until they come back to him. And he's already there, isn't he? What I mean is submit to his leadership. He's there, isn't he? Everybody that's not here this morning because they don't want to be, but they're truly saved, he's right there with them, isn't he? And he's going to be with them till they leave this world. Isn't that right? Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 23. There's a miserable life for God's sheep that wander away and never have peace. And Jesus knew that. Matthew 23, look at verse 3. Let me read the first three verses. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They think they own it. They think they're the ones. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Even the Pharisees, it was okay to listen what they said and do it because they were fighting against Jesus and quoting the Bible. The actual words they were saying in the text they were giving out was God's word. We've got folks today that can preach and teach and read the word. All kinds of different denominations. All kinds of different things behind the scenes. A whole lot of different traditions that everybody fuss about. But the word of God itself is powerful, isn't it? The word of God itself, the Holy Spirit teaches in a lot of places every week. And they don't have to really be right with God. Because you don't want to do the way they do. Because they can say and they can do wrong. There's a step in the church today that's down a couple steps. And this is what it is. I go to that church and they're the same and they preach the Bible, but I'd like to come down to Dry Creek, but. And it's on and on and on, and it's the same thing. They read and teach the Bible. It's all the same. And I said, well, what are you tore up at me about? I'm glad you're going there then. But there are the same places that can seemingly preach and teach and quote the scriptures and read the Bible that you don't want to do what they do. Because they're not right. They don't have authority. They obviously haven't went through the door. They obviously are listening to another voice. A stranger's voice. Somebody that didn't come through their heart. Somebody that came through up another way in their mind. Maybe in their head. Maybe in their emotions. And it'll never be right. Stay in Matthew 23 and go to verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Those churches that have God's sheep, that you can do what they say but not what they do, don't go in. They don't go through the door. They don't have the authority. They don't have the calling. They don't have what God's church and God's shepherds have that go through the door. They've come up another way. You see, there's a lot of times people talk to me and I'll give them the best advice I know. And it's this right here. They cannot lead sheep that are already sheep with another gospel. People that are sheep can't be satisfied with another gospel. The outward. We say it right, but we don't act it out right. This is everywhere. And it's pretty serious. We believe the Bible teaches that men that are deacons need to be called. They need to be the husband of one wife. They need to be men. That's all. That's strict. That's not strict. That's the Bible. It's either we obey it or we don't. There's a lot of folks that say but don't do. Push and pressure and all these different things. But they don't do right. You can watch them. And we've got some folks that are sheep that are out there trying to win their kids and their grandkids. And they can't. Because they haven't went in themselves in a long time. And they're stopping their kids and grandkids from going in where they need to be. Their influence is no good anymore. They're sheep. They're saved. They're concerned. They're eating the bread of sorrows, just like we said last week. I've got this problem. I've got this thing in my life. And I want to come. And excuses after excuses of why I can't be in church. And why I live like I do. And we enable people all the time, don't we? Instead of telling them what they're doing is wrong. You know, alcohol and drugs are wrong. And it doesn't do me a bit of good to clothe you and feed you and give you a 2-minute devotional. And have anything good in my heart to show before the Lord. There's people that will not go in anymore. And what they're doing is they're not getting those folks they love in either. Because they won't listen to them. Because they say, but they don't do. Is that pretty simple? We need to say and we need to do. We need to help go through the door ourselves, don't we? And we hear his name. He calls me by name and he leads me and I follow him. And I will not follow anybody else because I don't hear their voice. And those kind of people go everywhere the sheep goes. He's the door they go through to get saved. He's the door they go through when they go out and when they come back in and out. The Lord's with me and he's with you, isn't he? He's going to keep me from trouble. He's going to keep me out of sin. He's going to make me grow. He's going to send the greatest peace that you could ever imagine. I think the greatest example of this in my life, a year before I went out into the big world, I left home 17, I guess. 16, I rebelled against my daddy. The pressure for a teenager back then, I don't know what it is now. I'm sure it's worse. There were some things I wanted to do to prove I was an adult. And daddy didn't want me to do them. And I did it anyway. I lost his respect. I did. And there was that thing in between me and him that I put there, not him. And if I had it to do over, I'd have never done them anyway, but I would have at least waited. Because of the things I did to my daddy just in a year or two, rebelling against him, rebelling against God, because friends and importance and things in my heart was just so important. And I paid a big price. And the Lord loved me and brought me out of them. And called me to do His work and to His will. I want you to read that verse again in John chapter 10. Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Pasture. Good eating. Good security. Good safety, huh? When I go in and out of the door, which is Jesus, everywhere I go with Jesus, I'm in a pasture. I find a pasture, don't I? There's a lot of questions and a lot of counselings that I have through the years. I'm not happy. I'm not being blessed. I'm not getting what I need to do. I don't know what to do. Pray for me. Maybe I need this. Maybe I need that. That's just not in the Bible. What's in the Bible, because those people have quit going through the door, they don't get the fine things, the good things. They've given it up. How can a Christian not have pasture? We're going to have some rough times, some bad times, some upset times, some shocking times. But in it all, because I'm a sheep and Jesus is my shepherd, everywhere, all day, every day, I find pasture. Don't you? It might take a day or two, but before this day's over, Lord, settle my heart. Give me peace. And He does, doesn't He? I can't give pasture to people if they're not saved. I can't help folks get back right with God if they not wanted to go with Him everywhere they went. And even though they'll never listen to a stranger and they'll never follow Him, they'll never be a part of influencing somebody they love with all their heart and be able to help them see what they want them to see because they refuse to go in themselves. And they stop others from going in. And what a great loss. It's an awful thing. An awful loss. To not go in ourselves. And hold other people back from going in. So it's really simple this morning. Is who are you following? If you're saved, you're following Jesus. He's called your name. He's leading you, isn't He? Not the news, not the job, not the stress, nobody else. God is leading you, waiting on you, watching over you. And you need to come to Him because He's right there beside you anyway. Huh? Who do you follow? How do we lead as a pastor and as a church? Slowly, carefully, with God's understanding of what a shepherd is and what a shepherd isn't. We don't drive, we don't run. We surround and we lead. There's no different style or no different way to reach a teenager than there is an adult. Everything's always the same every time because it's the Holy Spirit we go through that approves everything. There's no magic. There's no different thing to put out before a young person to get them to do this or that unless you're coming up another way. And that's not the right way. And I'm not saying people are wrong. That's the reason. That's a standard that I have as a pastor. Some folks can't wait on me. Some folks get impatient. But I'm going to answer to God. And I've seen it over and over and over again. How God blesses, doesn't He? Because we go through the door. We listen because we know He's going to call us. And we follow Him. Because there's no other way, is there? I don't know where your heart is this morning. I don't know if you're influencing people and they're not listening, and it's good or it's bad. But we're all going to answer to the Lord. He's our shepherd. He's our shepherd, isn't He? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And because He's your shepherd this morning, you might need to get closer to Him. You might need to listen more. Or you might need to ask Him, Lord, will You go with me out here? Not, Lord, I'm going to go out here. You going to be with me? I will follow His lead. And wherever He leads, I'll go. And what an awesome, awesome understanding that we can have. If you're lost today, you're not going to get any other voice but the Holy Spirit's. You're not going to get any other word but the Word of God. We're not going to climb up another way, and we're not going to rob you from conviction and steal away your hope when God's leading you to Him and Him alone. It's through the door of conviction and forgiveness of sin and repentance. That's how you get saved. If you're here and you are saved, the Lord's working here. He's building here. He's going to see us grow here. We're going to gain and be strong, but it's going to be in His way and in His time. It's a lot easier to do it that way than any other way that would cause us so many problems that we'd never get back on track. Shepherding. That's what God says, huh? He's my shepherd, and I'm His sheep. I want to ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.